Welcome to this week's episode of the show. Glad to have you. Glad you can join. And thank you for listening in. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for subscribing and liking and sharing. Glad to have you back. It's been a great and exciting 4th of July week. Hopefully you enjoyed your 4th of July. How did you guys enjoy it? I was here working. I was here working on projects. So that's how I spent my 4th of July. Retuning, refining, getting some things done. Maybe you went on vacation. Maybe you went to the lake. Maybe you went to the beach. Maybe you went to the theme park. Let me know what you guys did, how you enjoyed it. We love to go ahead and get engaged with you. Glad that you are here. In this week's episode, we're talking about growth hacking. If you are running a brick and mortar or you are coming out with a product, such as like an ebook even, this episode is actually going to dive into what is growth hacking and how does growth hacking work. Thank you for tuning into the show, Growth Hacking. Let's go ahead and roll into it. So what is growth hacking? Growth hacking, that is, it seems to be a slang term that's been thrown around, especially in the tech Silicon Valley industry in that area. But growth hacking, they say that it's something, it's different from marketing. It's slightly different from marketing because growth hackers are basically engineers and they're focused on to the technical aspect of being a great marketer. So not only is it interacting with the customer, but it's also how does the product interact with the customer, or how does the customer interact with the product? And actually we'll I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but those two actually go hand in hand. They work with one another, and hopefully you will learn something or you will find something in here that might be quite useful for you. So let's go ahead and roll into it. So it's a growth hacker, essentially, that is, it's a hybrid between a marketer and an engineer or a coder. So you have someone who have this very analytical, strategic mindset, but then you also have the other individual who is into marketing, who is understanding how does this product or service interact with people, and how do we think in terms of making sure that it's adaptable, making sure that it's needed, and most importantly, making sure that it's desired before we even roll out the product itself. So a lot of the things that get measured with growth hacking, with a growth hacker, we'll call them, are things like acquisition or getting new customers, activation or persuading customers to use the product. There's retention and keeping customers and reducing their actual turnover. And there's revenue, which of course is making money. And there's referral or getting people to referral new customers. Now that is one single model of the funnel. And that seems to go a long way when we talk about how to actually growth hack. So when we talk about growth hacking specifically, because I don't want to get too complicated on you, growth hacking, yeah, you're using it. You're engineering a marketing strategy with a technical understanding in order to grow the business. That is the job of a growth hacker, is to grow the business. But I would also imagine that's the job of anyone in the business, especially sales team, CFOs, and of course, yeah, your marketing director. Yeah, their job is to grow the business. So growth hacking is much more of it's being adapted, especially in Silicon Valley, in the tech world, as positions or complete departments are being called growth hackers. Now, even if you're not a quote unquote engineer or a techie, you're still whole departments are being redefined to call themselves growth hackers. So it's a lot of things are changing. A lot of things are actually shifting, and it's being, you know, really, really emphasized as a trend to be called a great marketer. Now, growth hacking it's not something that you do, right? It's not just a tactic, even though there are tactics that are involved, but it's something that actually gets integrated either into the product or into the process of marketing in itself. So growth hacking, and the way that I see it, if we're going to get like really, really black and white, it's getting attention. It's leveraging the tools and resources that you have to get people to engage with the product, to share the product, or to essentially use it, which is engagement. But that's really what it really boils down to. It's getting people getting them to take the actions that you want them to take and finding different ways to get them to do it in as many places as possible, using as many touch points that the customer interacts with as possible. Now, there's plenty of tools that we can use, that you can use to create this growth hack. And social media has made it insanely easy to be able to track things that are happening. You know, we're no longer just using snail mail. Granted, yeah, some companies are using postcards, perfectly fine, but that can be hacked as well. That can be growth hacked by, you know, putting, if you receive this and you use this code, type this code into the browser, go to our website, put this code in, and you'll receive 20% off. That's a way to track it. And you can track the numbers of how many people actually use that coupon. So that's super fantastic. So that's one idea. The main thing is you can use social media, has made it really easy to track tests, to improve. Google Analytics is also another tool that's made it easy for us to track data and to figure out where people are going on your website, where are they coming from, what device are they using, you know, what part of the world are they in, are they local, what page are they going to, what are they searching for when they find your website. And these are tools and things that you can leverage to figure out, okay, so this with this information, you can go back, retune your website to make sure that it meets the needs of the consumer. It's figuring out how people are actually finding you and catering your website or your product to meet the needs of that person. There are other factors that can come into play as well. It's not just analytics. You have things like delivering email, how fast your page loads on your website, how people are interacting on your Facebook page. Are you running ads? What are you actually doing? And what's great is we can actually measure this information, which is extremely valuable, especially when you're trying to grow things, when you're trying to figure out what's working and what's not, to figure out what's going on, to know exactly what's happening, what people are actually doing, and how they're actually using it. There are no longer ways. We no longer have to gamble anymore. We no longer have to play a guessing game of what's going to work and what's not going to work. There are some levels of innovation that will involve trying new things, seeing how they work. Yeah, there will always be that level of, and that room for innovation, that room to grow. And that's fantastic that we'll still be able to leverage that. So growth hacking is much more of a mindset than it is something you just do. It's thinking in a way that says, how can I leverage this platform or this tool or this resource where attention is highly focused? How can I leverage that to get people to do more, to act more, to think more? And that is something that can be folded even into the give, 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 ask methodology. When you give enough upfront, usually asking becomes so easy because you've added so much value in the beginning. How do you get and maintain and multiply in a way that you can actually scale? What are some things that can be done to multiply and scale and gain attention in a massive way? And that's the key word, attention. What are some ways that that can be done? Well, because we're thinking in terms of growth and leveraging things for growth, those become variables. Those become a lot of questions that are involved in helping us actually grow this out and helping us understand and come up with new ideas on how to grow your actual business. Now, what's great about it is as easy as simply thinking differently. It's changing the way that you see the world. It's framing it in such a way that everything that you want to happen, there's an infinite amount of ways to make that happen. Now, it's not always going to happen the first time or even the second time or even the third time. It's going to take time for you to actually test, iterate, and try different things to see how they're going to work. And that is where patience, that's where persistence, that's where your persistence is really going to pay off, because you're spending time actually working towards something that's really important and that's really valuable to you. So how do we, what's the path to becoming a growth hacker? What's a path that we can take to actually using growth hacking in our business or our product or our service that we can leverage to help our vision become a reality? First step is to, you want to think backwards. You want to think about the end result first. Obviously, in this case, it would be getting the product in front of the customer. That's going to be your outcome. And you want to reverse engineer. So you want to start with the end outcome, thinking of, okay, this is how I need to get this product in front of the customer. What are the steps that I need to take backwards in order to do that? So what's happening is you're being customer-centric. You're thinking about the customer first, rather than simply trying to create a product and hope that the world adores and loves it, which usually they don't, unless you've already built up a market for it or you've built up a fan base for it based on common interest, which is hugely valuable as well. The best thing you can do is to figure out a need that the public has. What is a need that the public has that you can use and that you can leverage that you could fill that void for? It might be how to lose weight. It might be how to build muscle. It might be how to find the man, the woman of your dreams. It might be how to use household products more efficiently. It might be how to clean dirt off of stained floors. It could be any type of problem or any type of need that someone may have. Now, those are small scales, or you can think on a larger scale. Like, a great story about that would be a company called Airbnb, also known as Air, Bed, and Breakfast. Now, when Airbnb was first started, there was two guys, they couldn't pay rent, and they thought, hey, what if we rent out one of the rooms and we'll give them free breakfast and we'll rent it out for a couple of days? Now, maybe someone's coming in town and we'll just rent it out to them for a couple of days and we'll offer a free breakfast so that they'll have a reason to come and stay. And it worked. And they leveraged Craigslist when they did this. Craigslist was a platform that actually had millions of users on it already. And they were able to kind of leverage that platform, to leverage that space, to actually, you know, to get customers. It started happening so frequently that they decided to build a website. And then from that point, they actually were able to use the website to link to Craigslist. Now, at this time, Craigslist did not actually have a system set up for them to do that. So they actually had to hire a programmer, and they went and they got it programmed and without the knowledge of Craigslist, and they made it so that whenever you booked a room, you were able to actually share it on Craigslist. Or if you had a room available and you signed up with Airbnb, you would automatically be able to share it on Craigslist. That is an example of growth hacking. That is an example of leveraging something to get the attention for your product or for the needs that you're trying to meet. And it doesn't even have to be that massive. It could be something as simple as putting a business card on the back of a trifold brochure. Has your name, has a telephone number, and has your email address. That is a way to growth hack. So, like, companies have spent a long time trying to figure out different ways to actually growth hack and actually hack the system and leverage other people's platforms in order to actually get that attention. Another company that did this as well was Napster. They decided to create a platform sharing service where music can be traded, where music can be used, and we can share files, and, you know, it belonged to us. It's like loaning a friend a CD was the idea, but it was a central place ideally to basically share information. So if I had something, a file that I needed to send to a client, I can go ahead, I can put it on there, and then the client will be able to pick it up. I can encode it however I want it to make sure that, you know, the people who were looking for it, or unless I sent them a link, only they had access to it. Now, clearly this was before we had Dropbox, but that idea was something that we're actually going to come back into when we talk about another popular writer who actually leveraged that to actually grow his book sales by a massive amount. So these companies, they spent time, Airbnb, they spent time trying iterations until they had actually achieved a product that actually fit the needs of the customer, also called a product market fit or being customer centric. Those principles, those ideas of focusing on the customer first is actually going to play out for you in the long run because you're focused on what they actually need. So rather than, like I had mentioned earlier, rather than simply trying to, oh, I've got this great idea for a product or that I want to go ahead and put out to the marketplace, you spend all this time and money and energy and sweatquity trying to, trying to get that into the marketplace and hoping that people will love it or expecting them to adore it because you felt so passionate and you spent so much time and so much energy working on it and they don't care. That is going to bite you in the butt. So rather than doing it that way, you can go out into the marketplace. You can find an interest that even that you have, and I guarantee you there will be a market for it. If you search enough, you can use Quora, you can use Facebook, you can use Twitter, you can use Yahoo Answers. Actually, if you go into your browser, put the word forum, F-O-R-U-M, and then whatever that topic it is that you're looking for, you'll find all types of forums or all types of blogs where people are actually commenting, and it's kind of like a chat room. It's kind of like a meeting place. So that meeting place is those people that are there that are asking those questions. That's a group that you can actually look and see what are they asking for? What need that's consistently being asked for among that group, among that social group that's not being met? And how can I provide value in that and meet them where they are? And I can test it on them. I can subjugate my book that I've written, for example, to them and let them be the judge. Let them, you know, give me some ideas. And they might ask questions and come up with things that I had not initially thought about. By having it set up so that you're customer centric, that you're focused on this customer first, by being customer centric and focusing on the customer first, it makes it so that the product and the customer are absolutely made for each other. It's a match made in e-commerce heaven. And that match that's made, it's being because you're getting that feedback. You're engaging with the people that you want to sell to. And as you are engaging with them, as you are relating to them and bouncing back and forth with them, what's happening is that you begin to grow this relationship and they begin to tell you things, like I said, that you might not have considered, or there might be other needs that might be more important or more nuanced that you might have not had considered that they're like, that they would tell you about. And boom, you go, you fulfill that need. It turns out there's a huge market for that need that people have been asking for in other locations that weren't fulfilled. And next thing you know, you're literally stealing business simply because you decided to engage, you decided to ask, you decided to ask people to share, you decided to ask people, hey, come by my pub and I'll give you a free drink on us, bring a friend and you'll get a free drink, or, you know, bring a friend and, you know, however you want to work that deal. But the idea is to get attention and get to as many people as possible by getting them involved, by figuring out where they're at, going to them, engaging with them, and seeing how you interact with them and actually flowing with them in a sense of harmony. You don't have to start with something massive just to get started. It doesn't have to be this huge, massive campaign. I think Will Smith said it best. He said, don't try to build the biggest, baddest, most extravagant house that you can, or extravagant wall that you can. He said, just try to lay one brick as perfectly as a brick can be laid. And that's absolutely perfect when it comes to minimalism and being simple and being very, very practical and actually taking one step at a time when developing your product. And as you're improving it and as you're doing these iterations, you can get feedback from the market about whether it's something that they want or not. I actually did asked a question to the public on Facebook. There was a dating platform that I was actually going to put together. I asked, I said, if I did a dating platform about dating and I would cover these topics from setting up the perfect date to asking the girl out or guy out to having the conversations or what are some good conversation to have? When is it okay to touch? You can ask people on Facebook. Like I said, you can go to Quora, you can go to Twitter, you can go to Instagram. Well, Instagram's slightly different. But you can still, there's still plenty of places that you can go. Even if you have a meetup group, there's plenty of meetup groups underestimated. There's meetup.com. If you haven't and you want to physically get around people who have similar interests as you, go to meetup.com, meetup.com. And there is in every city, there is insane amount of people who meet up either weekly or monthly who have the same interests as you. Whether it's business, whether it's catering, whether it's food, whether it's games, whether it's drinking, whether it's partying, whether it's golf, whether it's card games, whether it's old school tabletop Dungeons and Dragons, there's a group for everything. If you have a pet, there's a group for that. If you're a single mom, there's a group for that. And what's happening is you begin to integrate with other people who are like-minded. You can even use them as test subjects or as people who might be interested in your product. But I don't want to veer off too much from this specific segment. But when you are coming out with a product, you doesn't have to be perfect. You don't have to have everything in a row. Just start with something, with a base product, and ask people and integrate and iterate as much as possible to improve that actual product and slowly make changes and adjustments based on the feedback and the desires of the market. And you might be surprised about how well this actually works. So don't wait for things to happen by sheer serendipity. Deliberately plan. Marketers are great at actually going back and interacting with the customers, which is something that engineers aren't necessarily known for. And that's the advantage that being out in the public and being a marketer, a standard marketer has, is that you're interacting with people. You're not just going back and reading data online. You're going back and you're taking a physical sample by engaging with people and actually seeing what they do and what they respond to and not just what they say. So other ways to actually get, how do you actually get your product in front of the right market? Well, you have to test these ideas. Go to a blog forum and ask people about, you know, your book, or go in front of a group and ask them, hey, I wrote this book. This is the topic. What do you guys think? Just ask people, give them a sample, a chapter of your book and let them read it and then let them get back to you and they'll let you know what they think. Did they like it? Did there some things they want to change in it? What do they actually think about it? Or if you come up with topic ideas, you can look and scroll through different forums and different types of blogs and see how many engagements that a blog post actually gets. If there's a high engagement, there's a high like rate, if you're on Facebook, there's a lot of comments, then that might be an idea to explore. You'd be surprised, people typically don't care about where the content comes from. They just care about who is delivering it. If it's being delivered by someone they know, like, and trust, even if it came from someone who's more popular, they're going to go with the person who they know, like, and trust. So the source could have come from somewhere else that has way more views or someone who has way more influence in the industry. But because I don't know that person, I'm like, okay, well, yeah, my neighbor, he knows the same thing. Let me ask him. So that's the value in it. That's the value that you have to your network, is that they know you, they like you, and they trust you. And you can actually leverage using the attention that someone else has gotten off of a piece of content that you can formulate into your own, talking about the same subject and perhaps finding ways to make it better. You don't need much to get started. You just need to start gradually, to start on a very, very small scale to slowly take your time and to actually get started. It doesn't have to be, you know, like I said, this huge mash of push. Just start with something simple. Just these little small inch by inch increment improvements, whether it's 1 to 2% per day, it doesn't matter. The idea is just to progress, to make progress. It doesn't have to be perfect. You don't have to wait for the stars to align. You have to sit and procrastinate and wait and hope that something is going to be, the scenario is going to be just perfect so you can make your move and make it happen in one fell swoop and everything's going to be perfect. Don't worry about being perfect. Just focus on making progress. Making sure that you're going to do just whatever it takes to make sure that it happens. If you try one thing and it doesn't work, you try something else. And if that doesn't work, well, then you try something else. And if that doesn't work, well, then you try something else. And what happens is that the more that you try something, the RAS in your brain starts looking for new ways to figure out ways to get you to the outcome. And our brains, our subconscious are very, very powerful. So when you're doing something, the more you do it, it'll ask, what are some different ways I can try to do this? And if you don't know, it'll start, maybe if I go to this resource, it'll help. Or maybe if I go to that resource, there might be an answer. Whenever you focus on a specific outcome and you're willing to work toward it, your brain will help you. It'll help you get that goal because it doesn't want to be made wrong. It will do every single thing that it can to help you get there. So the same thing works when you're looking at a different type of product to bring to the marketplace, or a valuable product, we should say, that you want to bring to the marketplace. Be willing just to try different things, to change out verbiage, to redesigning the product or the service altogether. Maybe you might need to go into a tighter or a niche market. Let your customers know that, hey, maybe this isn't a good fit because you don't have the budget, but I might know someone who can help you, or I might be able to get you a loan so you can meet the needs. I can help you get your outcome that you're after. And not saying yes to something just because you're trying to, you're desperate. And I could understand if you're getting started, yeah, try everything. Do as many things as you can with as many people as possible. Even if you're a veteran, or even if you're an expert or a pro, or you're on the verge of being a pro, try as many things as you can. If you believe in your product or service, or if you believe in the mission of that prospect or that customer, and you want to help them simply because you believe in what they're doing and why they're doing it, then hell, help them. Use your ability, use your talent, help put them on, help do things for them. And you'd be surprised about how the universe will come back and help you when you actually take the time to do things like that. You also want to be open to constructive criticism from people. Typically, when you share an idea or you have a thought or you try a new venture or a new product, 9 times out of 10, you're going to have a heckler. You're going to have someone. It might be a friend who's just heckling you. It might be someone who doesn't like you. It might be a total stranger. But eventually, someone's going to heckle you. And they might be just doing it just in jest, but when they don't understand how hard you might be working on something or how important something is to you, they don't know. You can tell them or you can ignore them altogether. Nothing that you're doing is going to be, nothing's going to be frozen. It's never fixed. It's never, there's always ways to be flexible. And that's the key thing, is that you have to be flexible when things are not going as they had planned. You have to be able to maneuver. You have to be able to work around and weave in and out of the obstacles, of the points of views, and dancing with them, not just necessarily negating them altogether, especially if there's something that's constructive. You have to be able to dance with it and actually listen to what's going on and actually finding ways to actually leverage that and use that for your good. Whereas what's interesting about the way the marketplace is functioning now is that people were like, well, you have to be, it's the race to the market, man. And it's always the person who's always gets there, the person who's going to win, it's the person who's always first to that marketplace. And that we know is bull. It's not the person who's always first to the marketplace that's going to win. It's the person who adds the most value to the marketplace that always wins. Now, if you find ways to add more value than anybody else, you will crush it. if your product is good, if your service is good, if you know what people want, and you find ways to solve other problems in that same sector for as many people as possible in order to guide them to the actual physical or digital product that you want them to buy in the interim, that is going to win. That is going to be your winning formula. That is going to be one of your winning strategies. Is the end all be all? Maybe not. For example, Apple only advertises when they have a new product out. Have you noticed that? They usually don't advertise between major products. If they have something they want to put out, like I haven't seen an advertisement for an older MacBook Pro. You just don't see that. But when something new comes out, that's the only time they advertise. Now, companies like Samsung and I think Nokia, I'm not sure if Nokia is still around. They probably are. But yeah, they'll advertise year round. But Apple has a tendency because they find ways to add incremental value through updates in their products and find ways to integrate that because their products are such a high quality, they can afford to do that. And they've been able to leverage that in order to make that happen. But when it comes to trying something, Occam's razor, using right different types of methods and questioning every single thing that's happening in order to make sure that the product that you're designing is for them. It's a process of deduction. Like, who's the product for? Why are they using it? What problem does it solve? Does it make things easier, faster? Does it make them stronger? Does it make things clearer? Does it alleviate a headache or a pain? These are some questions that can be used to actually narrow things down. And clearly, one of the best ways to do it is just simply to ask them, hey, so why did you choose this particular product? Like, what was the problem that you're trying to solve? Are you trying to get new customers? Are you trying to get more attention? Are you trying to let people know about a new product, a new feature on one of your existing products to get them to come back? You know, what is that? Ask your customer, what is it that they're trying to solve? And they'll tell you, they'll let you know, hey, this is what we're trying to do. And if you ask enough people, you begin to notice a pattern that's happening in the marketplace. And that alone might give you insight for another branch or another feature that you can actually add on to your existing product. If there's something that they choose not to, like they choose not to buy your product, asking them, what can we do to get you to refer our product to people? What can we improve on? How come you won't refer our product to other people? Is there something that you feel you need more of? Is there something that's missing? Is there something that's working really, really well? But don't ask a bunch of random people and show them and be like, okay, well, would you buy this? What did you think about it? Be deliberate. Ask the people who are actually going to be using or who are likely to use your product. For example, if you're a designer and you are creating a website and you create websites for customers and you want to get a census of what people are actually looking for in a specific niche, for example, it might be construction. You might ask companies, construction companies who have websites, what do you like about your current website? What do you not like about it? What would you see it changed? And ask 10 or 15 of these companies, and eventually you start to see patterns. And then you'll be able to position your product to actually feature the things that they do like and solve the problems of the things that they don't like about their existing product. You can use all kinds of tools to actually ask people and actually take surveys. You don't have to, you know, physically call each of them. You can actually send them an email. You can use things like Google Docs has a great service that you can actually use to ask questions. Google Docs or Google Questionnaire, it's one of the two. Google Forms. You can use SurveyMonkey. You can use Woofoo. And it makes it easy to create and ask these questions. These are something that I actually send out to clients as well. And there's a series of questions that I'll ask them. Even asking for referrals or for a referral is something to integrate, as well as a testimonial. All of that can be integrated, and that's finding ways for you to actually leverage certain tools to actually grow certain aspects and parts of your business. You have to work for it. You have to fight for it. You have to spend time actually developing things, developing the tools and the questions. The questions don't have to be super complicated. If you ask your customers a question and it conflicts, and the results actually conflict with what you actually initially had anticipated them asking, and it conflicts with it completely, then be willing to say, okay, let's go ahead and scrap what we're going to do, and we're going to focus on what the customer is actually responding to. We're going to focus on what the customer actually needs, and using that time and using that energy and give them exactly what it is they want. So don't be romantic about the actual product. If it's something that they don't like and they don't need, be willing to shelf it and then bring something else out that actually fits the actual market. But even once they've figured out, okay, this is a product that the market actually wants to use and they like it, they don't just sit back and rest in our laurels and hope, okay, cool. So we've got a product, we're excited, we're hyped, we're ready to go. It's not gonna go out and find people and bring them in. You actually have to go out and actually find customers. Whether it's picking up the phone call, going door to door, doing SEO, paying for Google ads, paying for Facebook ads, picking up the phone and calling every person in your area or every business in your area, going back and using sites like Alignable to engage with potential businesses or using Facebook. Yeah, there's plenty of places that you can go, but you have to go out to them. If you build it, they will not come. If you build it, you can go to them. So that's the benefit of it. If you build it, you can go get them and bring them back to what you built. So that's the advantage of actually having that. I mean, to be successful in this area, you want to make sure that your product and your service actually matches what it is that the market matches. So make sure you're knocking on the right doors, making sure you're engaging with the right people, making sure you're talking to the right people, and be proud of what you've built. Be confident in your product, in your service, or your program, whatever it is that you offer. Make sure that you are consistently just enthusiastic and glad and zealous, jovial about what it is that you are bringing to the market. That enthusiasm helps a lot. It's not arrogance, it's enthusiasm, it's excitement, it's polish, it's pizzazz. And those little things that it transmutes in a very, very subtle way. It's an energy exchange that actually happens. And as that energy exchange happens, people can feel it. Even if they're over the phone, they can actually feel the energy that you're portraying and they pick up on it. And if it's something that they think that, oh, wow, I like the energy of this guy, I like what he's talking about, all of a sudden they become in sync with what it is that you have to say. And that's important. It's getting them to listen to what you have to say. So for example, let's look at a company called Dropbox. When file sharing began, it wasn't even open to the public. Like Dropbox was not open to the public at all. And it was invite only to actually use. In an effort to get people to sign up, they created a demo video. And the demo walked people through the product. And they just simply had elements that were relevant to the culture in the actual video that they could relate to. And that helped to, oh, he's like me. Perfect. I'm interested. What you got? And on top of that, here's what Dropbox did that was also very ingenious. They allowed you to actually share the service with other people. So if you had an email list, people on Facebook, and for every person that you shared it with, they gave you a couple megabytes of storage. So basically, you got free additional storage for every person that you shared it with. That is a way to actually hack the system and actually add value so people were inclined, because you're giving them an incentive. You're using an incentive. You're giving them a reason to use and share your product. And remember, people do business with people they know, like, and trust. And they're using that personal contact in order to grow. And it exploded. And as you know, Dropbox is now one of the top, if not the top, file sharing platform today. Even a few years later, there was another email app that tried the same thing, a very, very similar strategy. They did like a very quick video, very awesome interface, and they showed people how to use it. It worked to use in order to help them grow their business. In this case, they did it via video, knowing that video is a huge, huge attention grabber, especially since the advent of the television. In short, there are plenty of ways for you to go back and actually kick things off, use and leverage the products, and finding ways to actually reach customers, to actually find ways to leverage the tools and resources that they have to help get your product in front of them and help to get your product and help them share it and making it easy for people to actually share what it is that you have to offer. So it's really taking that time. It's sitting down. It's thinking about things that are happening. And you can, there's plenty of ways to do it. You can create an aura of exclusivity in your product. Bring influential advisors or people in the neighborhood or people who are popular into that space. You can host cool events at your spot. If you have a brick and mortar, if you're opening up a restaurant, you can host cool events. You can target a single neighborhood. If you have people that are in a certain vicinity, I had a client that she did a geofence on the opening of her shop. And when people came in, they hop on Instagram. They use the actual filter that we made. They're able to tag it. You share it with other people on Instagram. And that's a wonderful way to kind of growth hack to use to get the attention. And that's really the name of the game, is simply getting that attention and getting people on board. You've got to convert them. You've got to find ways to grow. You've got to find ways to become viral and actually share the content, actually sharing things on Instagram. There is no solid formula for virality, but by adding enough value up front and making it easy for people to like your content, to share your content, to follow it, that's going to be probably the best way that you can actually leverage to actually get people involved and get the word spread and let people know that, hey, you've got something special. You've got something that's going to help solve a problem for them and get the word out about what you have to offer. All right. That is it for today's show. Thank you for tuning in. Please like, please share, please follow, please subscribe. And let me know in the comments section about what do you guys think about this growth hacking thing. Like, what do you guys think? Is it something that you want to learn more of? Is it something you want to learn more about? Is it something you want me to go deeper into in another episode? Feel free and let me know. There's plenty of time. There's plenty of things that we can talk about. I'm just here to help you guys, you know, leverage what you have to get what it is that you want. So just let me know in the comment section. I'm looking forward to speaking to you guys soon. Also, you can download other series. There's other episodes in the podcast. If you go to anchor.fm/giftboxcreative, and there you can listen to, there's multiple episodes that I have, all kinds of great things, content for you guys that you can listen to. And just remember, the light at the end of the tunnel may be you.